Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. And a girl with a friend, you'll be both in.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls, and today I'm here with the one and only Molly Lambert.
Hi, Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm so excited.
Hi, I'm so excited to have you here. You came in hot. You're ready. You said you're ready to defend season 8.
I am ready to defend season 8 of Vanderpump Rules. Do you want me to just start with my defense?
Let's talk about, because I assume your feelings on season 7, and correct me if I'm wrong, were lukewarm to cold.
Yes. Okay. I think season 8 is an improvement on season 7. I think season 8 is what they call in sports a rebuilding year, which is when the team has like lost some of its players, but they like are bringing new people in, but nobody knows what the new team is like exactly yet because they're new. And I think that anytime they bring in new characters on Pump Rules, we tend to forget how ill-received they were initially. I think when James and Lala first came on, people were like, these aren't the regular people. We don't need to see this. But now that those people have been absorbed into the fold, you need to always have new villains.
True.
So I think introducing Dana and some of the other new, Saved by the Bell, the new class at Sur, it brings up some new plot lines that we need for the show to keep going.
Yeah. I really like all the female newbies that they've brought in. I think there are some strong players. I'm excited to see where Danica could take things because she has a really good energy.
I think in season 7, they tried to manufacture a lot of drama and it involved Billy, who I just realized is no longer on the show.
Yeah. R.I.P. Billy Lee from Vanderpump.
Four episodes to realize that like they had just totally gotten rid of Billy.
Well, I feel like they also, Jax and Brittany had such a crazy season 6 that they made some sort of pact either behind the scenes or with producers. It's like, we will never have this kind of storyline ever again if you want us on the show.
I think it's like there comes a point in every reality show, but especially in Bravo reality shows, when the people on the show become powerful enough that they start saying things like that. Like, we don't want to be portrayed in a bad light.
I'm like, honey, do you know what this show is?
Right. Like, I don't want to be the villain. And that brings me to Kristen, who is single-handedly keeping the whole show going this season.
Yeah.
But this is also where I'm going to defend this season. I think that this season, it doesn't have like a big dramatic, like everybody's fighting one person or one person is trying to undermine everyone or there's a secret and it turns out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different, it didn't start with like the last episode and like, let's go back now and see how this happened.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing really insane happened, but as just a portrayal of like a friend group in flux, it is like the greatest,
yeah,
realist show to me, because one of the best arcs was when Stassi left and then came back, because it was just very like everybody has that friend who's like, okay, I've got a boyfriend now, bye forever. Mm-hmm. And then like a year later comes back and is like, we broke up. You guys have to be my friend again. And then it's like, no, you have to earn our trust back because we all remember that you like ditched us.
Yeah.
That was a great arc because that was just like a relatable thing that happens in every friend group. I feel like the same thing is happening with the Kristen arc, which is that they're all being such fucking assholes to her because they're all like, we're grown-ups now.
Yeah, where Kristen, she gets such a bad rap on this show.
She does. And it's also like, they're all still, it's not like they did grow up. Like, they bought houses, which is also not a real marker of adulthood. It just means you have money from being on the show.
Yeah.
None of them could afford to buy a house if they weren't on Vanderpump Rules also, which is the way in which the show finally like broke the fourth wall for me.
Yeah. Like, it's not, I don't think anyone has, I don't, certainly don't think Tom Schwartz and Katie have eclipsed Kristen in terms of like maturity and adulthood.
Right. Cause they're like, oh, we're grownups now. We're going to like play house in our houses in Valley Village.
Yeah.
Beautiful Valley Village.
Stunning, scenic, gorgeous Valley Village.
I was saying before we started recording, I grew up in North Hollywood in an area that I think we're technically in Valley Village. I'm never sure. We are either like in or just outside of the line. But Valley Village is like a marketing scheme to try and make this one a few blocks of North Hollywood be fancier and have a more cachet than regular North Hollywood. But
I'm as like a someone that's like now lived in LA for a sizable chunk of time, I'm proud of what North Hollywood has managed to become over the past like 10 years.
I mean, I love it for what it is.
Yeah.
But I also think that moving to the Valley is like the logical next step of the Vanderpump saga.
It feels right for them.
It feels right. And it also feels like, when I say it's like a rebuilding year, it's like it feels like we're setting up a lot of stuff that could happen, because it is sort of like high stakes for all of these couples, Tom and Katie, Stassi and Bo, Jax and Brittany, and Sandoval and Ariana, all of them to like move in together and buy property together.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a huge deal that then if they fuck up, it's going to be like so much more intense than the previous times they fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like betting on all of them to fuck up.
Okay. I like where your head's at. Okay. And I am on that same page with you. My only worry is that like once we've had a season like season 7 where like it's clear that certain dynamics are being covered up or like kept from the viewer, I worry that there will never be a public fuck up again.
Well, I think Andy Cohen is not shy about letting people know that they can be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So I think also in order to keep paying the mortgage on those houses in Valley Village, they're going to have to...
Jax better head on over to the old folks home and find someone to fuck next to a dying senior citizen.
I thought you meant because he's wearing old man drag and he's like, get some pussy right at the old folks home in my old man costume.
That too. I would take anything.
Also, he could like get pussy at the old folks home just like as himself. So
yeah,
that...
he's like a pussy magnet at the old folks home.
Yeah, I mean... That's what I'm saying is like, my friend Brooke Baker, who's a big Vanderpump fan and the person who got me into the show originally, because I was not an early adopter.
Shout out Brooke.
Shout out Brooke.
It takes a hero to...
She really, and it took me a minute. And I remember the moment I was all in was when Tom Sandoval was telling the story about not making out with Ariana at the Golden Nugget. And somebody was like, maybe Jax is like, ew, you stayed at the Golden Nugget. And he was like, I love that place. I was like, these are my people. Like, they don't stay at the fanciest place, they stay in old Las Vegas. Like, they know They know what they can afford. Mm-hmm. They like don't live crazily outside their means the way every other Bravo show person does, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what made it such a good show to me always was the idea that like these are like working class, like regular people aspiring to have creative dreams, which is most people we know in mm-hmm. Los Angeles. I did worry that like them buying houses meant that they were no longer relatable to the creative class that loves Vanderpump Rules and does podcasts about it. But I do think it's like what I said to Brooke is like, I think it's going to just turn into Mad Men, you know, because mm-hmm. to me, it's like moving to the suburbs. Like we've all read Revolutionary Road. That doesn't mean that like now everything's great and we have sorted out all the simmering relationship issues that all of them have.
No. And I think what we're seeing, what I appreciate about Ariana's storyline especially is that that felt really real to me.
Where I love like, Ariana's storyline and I love Ariana. But I also, I think like the way that this show is like The Sopranos to me is that it follows people over a period of like almost a decade now.
Yeah.
So you see things happen where there's been like an Easter egg for it several seasons ago. So when Ariana came out as bi, I was like, oh, she read that weird homophobic diary entry at the stand-up show. Do you remember that? Where she was like, it was her diary entry from prep school where she was like, that girl keeps looking at me. I think she's a lesbian.
Oh my God. I forgot about
that. And I was like, wow. Is Ariana like a self-loathing secretly like maybe queer person? And then like, four seasons later, it's like, yeah, she totally is, you know? But it also made me be like, oh, okay, so she would like reading that diary entry on the show, like it ended up being part of the plot, you know? Just, I love it. And the other one was in season one when Stassi and Jax are talking about how much porn he watches, and she's like, I always see him, like, he always leaves the tabs open and it's all this BBW porn. You know, like he likes plus size girls.
Yeah.
And then like several seasons later when he gets with Britney, you're like, right. He wanted to be with Britney, with a girl like Britney all along.
Yeah.
But he was dating these like Adderall starved, you know, blonde girls.
Dating Britney and then doing what he could do to make to change her body into the kind of body that he prefers.
Yeah.
But then also then weirdly like fat shaming
her afterwards. I mean, what a prince.
Where will their relationship go?
Well,
he's like in full liar mode.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying is it's like Mad Men is it's like now that they have their like suburban lives, they're going to start like lying and cheating. Mm-hmm. And like they haven't stopped drinking.
No.
You know, other than Lala and James are the only people who seemingly like were given such a hard time about their out of control drinking that they did stop or like cut it back severely.
Yeah.
They had that house party and it was like a frat party, but
they're drinking like, and it's not even like they drink, they're just like popping rosé bottles and having like a rosé day by the pool.
No, they're doing drinking they do
shots of Jaeger.
That's what's so funny. It's like they've always done that and they haven't stopped at all, but everyone except for Kristen is like, we're grown-ups. And then they're being like, Kristen, you're so sad. Like, day drinking? Who are you? They're, like, shaming her for being just like them, but because she's not married and because she and her boyfriend openly have problems and are broken up right now, they're so mean to her.
It's a mirror, I think, of their own failings in life.
Yeah.
And they don't like to see that. So it's like, if you can't get up to our level,
that also feels like a very relatable thing where like when a bunch of your friends like do get married and you're still single and they kind of treat you like poison all of a sudden of like, oh well, like I can't have that single person like neurotic energy around me, I only have to have other like stable
or every conversation becomes about like, there's some really cute guys here, like have you seen, like what about him? And you're like, can we just like enjoy a night out? Like it's I'm like not they, constantly on the hunt for
it does
dick.
Also feel like that it feels like they don't want Kristen to be in a fucked up back and forth relationship because they want her to just be single so they can live vicariously through her, you know, and like she can be their fucked up single friend. But it does feel like they're like, Kristen, you have to be the fuck up. That's the role you play in this group, is you're the biggest fuck up. So the rest of us feel less bad about ourselves. But it doesn't feel like anything she's doing is bad, like compared to things she's done in the past.
No, I mean, she's having a really like her struggle seems very real of being like, my life is so intertwined with this person. I have a lot of feelings about them, but the relationship isn't working. And I like,
and it's like they live together,
get out of it.
But she's smart enough that he's not like buying the house with her and moving into the house with her.
Yeah.
Unlike the rest of them who are just like, okay, this like moving into this house together is going to like fix everything that's under the surface here.
Yeah. And I don't think it was weird that Kristen gave Carter like that. It's not, I think it'd be weirder if she's like, I'll be home on this day, like come over when I'm there. It's like, yeah, you, I trust you.
No,
like you're not gonna go and
like everything she said about him came true at the party when he walks up to her and he just like whispers in her ear like, I love you. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's fucking like, she's right, like he's doing all the stuff she said he was doing, and he's doing it really in a dastardly way that's like very emotionally abusive, which is to do it out of the sight of her friends. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're like, what's wrong with you, why can't you leave this guy? And he's like coming up to her at a party and like whispering I love you in her ear. That's so manipulative. It's just like he's even more manipulative than she is, which makes you feel bad for Kristen and bad that everyone's being mean to her.
I know, I always am on the I'm always team justice for Dodie. Like, I want so badly for her to come out on top.
She's
and, like, thrive
a book
beyond.
Coming out as well.
Yeah. A book that she co-authored.
Yeah.
Not a ghost-written book.
Very excited. I also cook food from her vegetarian...
Veggieholic?
Yes.
Veggieholic?
I make the minestrone from Veggieholic all the time.
Wow. Okay. A rave review. I think about cauliflower steak a lot because she's the first person that ever put that on my radar.
It's also like when you watch the show, if you go back and watch the show from the beginning, as some of us do many times to relax, it's also like the best show about the 2000s and the most accurate document of the time period.
LA, like it's the perfect time period of LA before Instagram changed the landscape.
Totally.
Like I was saying this on my other pod. Yeah. That it's like, you don't see the same kind of people like Instagram put a filter on like Vanderpumpian desperation so that you just don't see that kind of psychosis on a regular basis. It's all like there's so much fillers and filters that have masked it all.
And to see like the new generation come in is again a good plot device because it's like it forces the original class to be like, we must believe that our lives are superior and like going better than they were in some way, you know, like we're not as like wildly unstable and like fucking everybody, but like they are still unstable in some ways. Like Tequila Katie came out at the end of the last episode before the Pride episode, you know, and again I was just like, okay, like Tequila Katie is still totally a thing. Schwartz is still totally capable of like getting so drunk he wanders off and doesn't remember what he's done.
He blacks out like consistently. I don't think his drinking has ever slowed down. And Tequila Katie, what was really wild to me too is that Kristen, I mean, I think Kristen showed a lot of restraint in that like argument that she had with Stassi and Katie because she could have pulled out every receipt and just like thrown it all in Katie's face and poked the beast until Tequila Katie like tore down the restaurant.
Right. It's like there's something in their sort of like false superiority.
Yeah.
That.
And she didn't do that. She backed off and then even went so far as to like apologize publicly on Twitter when the episode aired, being like, that was a dick move of me, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, honey. Like, you've shown growth in this arena and clearly like these two women are still at, they just have a little more money in a house, but they're still very much emotionally in the same level they were.
Right. And I think it's like they've also both, they're both comfortable enough in their relationships that they're like, they're not hiding the crazy so much, you know? Like, I'm not, I don't know. Bo seems very in it with Stassi for good, but that doesn't mean that like her flipping out couldn't at least cause a plot line where they might break up.
Yeah. I just don't, there's something about that relationship. I don't trust it.
I mean, what's amazing about Stassi's dating is like, you know, Jack seemed like the worst boyfriend anyone could ever have. And then they introduced Patrick.
And that was truly.
Yeah.
Like skin. That was like revolting.
He was such an asshole to her and thought he was smart, but was an idiot. So Yeah, that also just like that made Bo feel like a relief.
But I think once the dust settles and we all collectively breathe that sigh of relief, the truth kind of creeps in, which is like Bo is like kind of a wannabe actor who found a really like famous person whose coattails he can ride to like get on the show and get a platform.
Which ironically is what they're saying Carter does.
I know, which is like it takes one to know one.
Right.
And I think that like, I feel like I've known and I've seen people who do this where it's like you date a bunch of dickheads and then you end up settling down with the first guy that's like medium nice to you. Yeah. And then like, that's like a good stepping stone to get to someone that could be a really good long-term partner, right. But I don't think the one that you should ever really like call it with.
Well, I think they also started to peel the onion that is Stassi with the stuff with her mom, you know, where you found out her mom was like such an asshole to her, mm-hmm. and just like very demeaning and just like a real jerk to her, where you were like, oh, that's why you're a bitch, or like, mm-hmm. that's why you created a persona where you were a bitch for so long is because your mom is a fucking bitch, and like, who knows what happened to her that made her such a bitch, but it's just like an endless cycle.
Yeah.
And I just think it's like you can't go back, you know? So to be like, oh, I miss like season 3 or 4 or whatever, it's like, no, these people like have to move on in some way. And if they were still partying and working at Sur, it would also not ring true in the same way, because it would be clear that it was like they don't have to work at Sur anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they're like, no, you don't have to work at Sur. And just like Ariana's speech this week about being so depressed, she like doesn't get out of bed in the morning. And like, I just feel like a freelance anthem.
Yeah, you know? I was like, that speaks to me. Yeah, very, very deeply.
And that was so like Betty Draper-y, where she was just like, okay, I'm in my house in the suburbs now, like how do I motivate to like brush my hair and like leave the house and not just like stay in my bed all day.
I'm like, hun, if you find out, let a bitch know.
But it is also, yeah, it's good for like they disprove their own belief that moving to the suburbs has like leveled everything out, because mm-hmm. they're all still clearly like thirsty to party too, you know?
Yeah. They all are like codependent, which is why they had to move into all the same style right. of houses within like a stone's throw of each other.
Well, that also feels like a setup for like, you know, you're all going to know where each other is at any time. And like, I totally believe that if Jax gets in a fight with Brittany, he could just like disappear for a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, I don't think being married does the thing that all of these people still expect it to do, you know, in terms of like securing their relationship long term. And that is why Ariana and Tom seem to have the healthiest relationship in some ways, because they're not just like, oh, we're married now, so we're like committed. Like, they're always evaluating their commitment, which makes people think they're more unstable. But to me, it makes them seem just like more stable.
Yeah.
They're never taking it for granted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're always like, do I want to be with you? Like, yes.
Yeah. Making an active decision every day to be together, right. rather than just like forced to be together.
Right. It means they're like always dating in a way. And like, clearly she has a lot of issues that she's like still opening up about. So yeah, it does seem like some of those people were just ready to jump the gun. And especially Jack seems eager to prove that he's an adult now.
But it's like he protests too much.
Right, because he's like, oh, I'm 40. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. Check me out. I'm 40. And it's like,
he looks for these like big life markers to then justify why he's so mature now. Like, he's like, oh, my dad died. I'm a whole new man. Like, right. Oh, I'm 40.
And like, that's so, again, relatable, because like, who doesn't know people that are like, I'm an adult now. And you're like, we all remember what you were like up until like 5 seconds ago.
You're like, you were butt chugging vodka like yesterday. So please.
And it's also like, it's fine to butt chug vodka.
Yeah, just by all means.
Be snotty to your other.
Don't pretend you're not butt chugging.
Right. Why don't you try to redefine what adulthood is to include more butt chugging?
Yeah, it's not just like, let's think outside the box. It's not so black and white.
Like, they were all so ready to go to Miami. You know what I mean? They were all like so excited to move into their house, and then they were immediately like excited to get out of it, which seems also just real.
Well, once you have also that much space, like I'm continually shocked at just how huge their houses are.
Oh, I just watched the movie What Lies Beneath last night for the first time.
And it's another huge house.
It just seems like all the drama in that movie is like this couple's in this huge house together. And it's so huge. I love stuff like that.
And I'm like watching like Schwartz fold it, like dealing with his laundry, and then just seeing like him and Katie's approach to like trying to move in and be like homemakers.
Right.
And it's something I don't think, I mean, they don't know how to do it.
No. And the picture where Ariana was like, oh, I'm going to move into my nice house and like now everything will be chill. And then they showed all the stuff in boxes not opened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just like, yeah, that's also depressing in a different way.
Well, it's also interesting because I'm like, yeah, they moved into these houses, which is a big financial leap for a lot of them. And also, I think as viewers who have seen them come from literally nothing to like homeowners, you're like, damn, they're rich now. Like, I guess they're probably solved.
They're not.
But they're not. And yeah. I think a huge tell on that is the fact that like the houses are not furnished. Yeah. Like, I think they could afford to make a down payment and start making mortgage payments, but like, where it takes a lot of money to like furnish a house.
Right. I think they're trying to have the lifestyle that they expect they should have at this point, which is a thing like a lot of people do. And like one of the most respectable things about Sandoval was that he kept that shitty apartment forever. You know, that he like wasn't like, okay, I've got a steady income now.
Yeah, I'm going to upgrade.
He was like, no, I'm going to save my money. I'm going to keep staying in this shitty rent controlled apartment, which is like the reality for most people in LA is like, you can't even afford to move.
Yeah. I mean, he's paying like $900 a month. That's unheard of.
Yeah, that's unheard of. Like, he should have stayed there till the end of time and like gifted it down to his children. And I think that it's scary to like put a mortgage down on a house. And again, I think like the behind the scenes thing that they're not saying is like to pay off those houses, they have to keep making this show for as long as humanly possible, which means they have to find a way to keep it interesting for the viewers.
I don't think they understand that though. And I think that that's what's kind of interesting. Like the subtext as like a longtime viewer is that like, I really think that I don't think Tom and Katie understand what it really means that they bought this house and are now like paying it off.
Yes.
In terms of like what it means for them to be on a show. I don't think Katie understands what that means in terms of her being on the show.
Well, I feel like they must have signed some sort of crazy contract at the beginning to film it all, you know? So I do think that they're going to keep getting drunk at parties. And when they do that, fucked up shit tends to happen.
Yeah. But I think they don't even know if the show's renewed for another season yet. Like, I don't think that they have any sort of guarantee of renewal. So they find out like a few weeks before they start filming a season if the show's renewed or not. Well, and I don't know if that includes like the OG's contracts, like if they have multiple seasons.
That's really interesting. I mean, I know that that's true for the housewives. I know that they can like fire all the housewives
at any time.
I've heard that like some people have other contracts in place or have such a good relationship with Andy Cohen that they're like unfireable, allegedly.
Yeah.
What I've heard is that, what's her name? Beverly Hills, that Kyle Richards is like unfireable.
Yeah, that tracks.
But I've heard that there's a lot of like behind the scenes drama right now with Nene and Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Because Nene is the person who considers herself like the grand dame original of Atlanta. And the same thing is happening with Vicky on Orange County, who I fucking hate more than anybody.
But oh my God, like, I love Vicky.
She's like a fascinating, horrible person. She's like not one redeeming quality in any way. She's not even like funny. she's just like an asshole.
She's like funny in the sense that she's never trying to be
funny.
No,
she represents Trump voter Orange County perfectly, you know, but they demoted her down to a friend of this season. She was fucking pissed.
But she's now off totally. I think that she's making her own show.
Right, but like, who wants that? I don't think anybody wants that. I just think that,
I don't even fuck with Orange County really, but I'm like, I
just
would...
think that it's like you can get your valuation up really high on a show like this to a point where maybe you even believe that that's how much you're worth, but it is sort of like a Silicon Valley type thing where it's like, or you can go bust at any moment if you stop making money, if you stop providing views and good content, you're out.
And on a show like Vanderpump Rules, how it's so different from Housewives is truly, it's like, how much are you willing to kind of degrade yourself?
And I will say that if what you really miss about Vanderpump Rules is the like hooking up and fighting in a workplace environment, Below Deck.
Below Deck, or if you miss it, Summer House is good hookup drama.
Yeah, I can't get into Summer House.
Did you watch this? I was never watching it, and then I watched the first episode of this season, and I was like, in. It was giving me everything that Vanderpump wasn't.
I think they know that Vanderpump has become a different show, and so they're like trying to cater to that demo. But it is also, again, it's like Vanderpump started as a show about people in their 20s getting shit-faced at work all the time, and now it's a show about people in their 30s buying houses and getting married, and one person who's 40 and like going to funerals.
Yeah. And having like real life scary sad things happen.
That's really interesting to me. That's like as interesting to me as the like you've, because if you know all of the backstory too, it's like it imbues all of these little things with so much weight.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't feel like this season is as much of a disappointment as last season.
Yeah.
But I definitely...
I think last season they kind of like went too far in a direction where they didn't know what they were doing, which was to introduce Billy as like the new Lala, the new like hot girl that's a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got into issues of trans representation in a way that none of the Vanderpump cast was like smart enough to deal with.
No.
Except for like a couple. Like... It made the principals look so bad, but it's also like it made the show look bad because the show does sort of be, you know, rely on this like, okay, now it's Pride. Like we're a very, you know, Pride type show. So yeah. To be like, actually, like
they're like, no, look at this trans demon that we've got.
Yeah, like, they were such fucking assholes to her.
Yeah. That, and like basically got her to quit the show.
Right.
And I think that like, they do pull stuff like they're like refusing to film with certain people.
Yeah.
I think that that was done with James in such a way where it was like,
well, that also hurts the show. The fact that they made Raquel full time, but James is like a friend of now is so fucking weird.
I know. But also Raquel is like,
I love Raquel
because I mean, I feel for her, especially after this episode.
Well,
and we'll get into
it. The story about the ice cream party is like,
that told you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
But then also Raquel's just gotten duped into actually working at Sur full time.
Her outfit that she wore at Pride was so amazing. It's very Britney.
Yeah, it was really
Britney Spears, not Britney.
Let's go kind of back to the beginning. It gets, so James is cleared to DJ at Pride.
He's the only DJ in Los Angeles.
The only DJ that could possibly bring people in, get them lit, and get them spending money on drinks is James Kennedy. And Tom Sandoval, he says his whole approach to James DJing successfully is bring him in early, get him out early.
Which is smart.
Yeah. And Katie says she would not let James DJ if it was her restaurant.
And then they cut back to the infamous, not summer bodies,
but like
James
being... sort of not very flattering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which they fail to really go back further and show that she started that argument.
Oh, they never do. That's Katie's strategy.
Yeah. Why is she still on the show?
Because she is a good character in a way, I think, because she's married to Schwartz, who's like the probably the biggest man child of all of them.
Yeah.
And just her like determination to make that relationship work, even though it was clearly like, I just feel like everyone knows that couple that dated for too long and then got married when they should have broken up. And that is what they feel like to me, you know, where you're like, they're going off the nostalgia for the group and everyone being together, but they're the only couple still standing from the original group.
Yeah. And it seems like a very like sexless relationship.
It seems sexless. She's talked a lot of shit about his dick.
A lot.
Like, a lot.
And it's like, she... I'm into, like, the leaning in to being truly just, like, a boring, like, matronly... Like, at one point, she's like, I'm teaching myself how to knit. And then it just shows her, like, laying on a couch
and
knitting.
Like, from the phases of their careers being sort of, like, having these, like, really big ambitions for themselves to being, like, we're all going to have blogs.
Being like, she started the show being like, I'm an actor.
I'm an actress.
I want to like go like, on auditions.
I'm a musician.
Yeah.
They all started with really big ambitions. And then they were all like, I'm just going to have a blog and be a personality because Instagram exists now.
Yeah. But like,
and now they're all like,
not even doing
I'm not
that.
Even going to have the blog. I'm just going to like get into being a housewife, which again, it's like, I feel like people come out of that very quickly.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are like, okay, I'm settled now. Like, my life's over. Like, I'm so boring. And then that makes you go insane, which Ariana is like already vocalizing.
Yeah. But like, when is that going to happen for Katie? Cause I'm like, you can't just like coast on knitting and be on the show.
Yes.
Or can you?
Well, I think Schwartz will fuck up in some way that she like has to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think will happen. I think they're going to set up like a boys trip or something. They're all going to be in sexless marriages.
Like,
people
there
might
has
start
to
having
have been someone that he's had sex with in between.
Well, then Kristen will find out and get text them.
Yeah,
them
like I'm surprised that like no one has caught them even just like on a cell phone or something, like making out with someone else.
I think they're gonna have to like lead them to it, you
yeah.
know. But like just seeing Jax in the strip club, it's obvious that like if his girlfriend's not in sight.
Mm-hmm.
He forgets.
Yeah, and he's down for whatever, and
he's
then
down
also
for whatever. And I think, again, just like for it becoming Mad Men, it's like then they're going to just be in like sexless marriages in the suburbs. That's going to come out in some way.
Yeah.
And if they're like, okay, you guys have to go to Las Vegas now to promote Vanderpump Rosé or whatever, stuff will happen.
Yeah.
They're not that disciplined.
So you're keeping the faith that
I'm
like,
keeping the faith.
Things are bubbling. Like,
yes.
It's like a simmering waiting to boil.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like we knew that it was gonna round off with like everyone getting married and buying houses, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That and stopping working at Sir.
Well, now I mean they're wanting to have babies too.
Right. And again, I don't think that's gonna help the relationships necessarily.
No.
That are
if
already...
Sheena's any indication of like what hormones can do to a person, we're in for a wild ride.
Well, I also love Sheena's plotline being like she's the person who's still socializing with the young people.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is like the female Peter Pan who's like, I'm still young, I still party, I'm single, it's cool.
Yeah.
But is clearly miserable.
Is basically like banking. I mean, I think it's great to like freeze your eggs and do all that, but I feel
Sheena's,
it's giving up a little
bit. Well,
it
also feels like they're like rubbing it in Sheena's face that like her fairy tale wedding didn't work out and like they're also happy now. But like, look at what happened to her.
Yeah. Like that was just like a little appetizer for you guys.
That's personally what I think, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think they will get bored of being old marrieds and be like, I miss partying like we used to. And that'll come out in some fashion.
Yeah.
But I thought the highlight of the season so far was Dana asking Sheena if she was 34 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheena puffing on her inhaler.
The inhaler is a real MVP of this episode. Sheena singing Good as Gold.
Yeah, and being like...
And being like kind of out of tune,
yeah,
and a little
practiced.
Bit desperate energy.
Because well, also that was like a sad story to me. Like Sheena giving up on her gay club, like house music career.
Too
just
soon.
Sort of like Lala taking it over, because
yeah.
I did feel like Sheena was the one with the surest like career path of being like, I'm going to have a novelty single. The person on the Bravo show that decides to have the novelty single is always playing a better long game than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because you can.
If I was on a reality show, I would have many singles.
Do you have a favorite Bravo single?
It's hard to say. I really like Shake That.
Yeah.
I love the merging of James Kennedy and Sheena in the stew. I thought it was like a fun anthem.
It
I like rap
that,
Sheena rapping.
It was during that time period when every pop song had klezmer horns in it. Mm-hmm. So it was very
was of the moment.
Of the moment.
And it was still, I think, Mike Shay and James. It was like their Shay F. Kennedy.
Oh, God.
And so it really, it merged a lot of things together that I love.
I mean, I think the, like, the worst possible ending for Sheena is that she, like, gives up and goes back to Azusa.
Yeah.
I love how she's always like, I'm the only one from LA.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's from Azusa.
Yeah, from Azusa.
As a person from the Valley, I feel that.
Sheena, so Lisa has broken her toe or has some sort of like foot injury.
I mean, Lisa is also like the number one guiltiest person of refusing to film with other people. And that's why she's not on Beverly Hills anymore.
I know, which is a real cop-out move. Like, I'm it's still holding that against out. Her.
And I think and she I did always plant will. Those stories also.
She did?
I think so.
Oh, she absolutely did. She's yeah. in bed with all of the, like, dailies and the right? tabloids.
Like, at what point are you not just like, well, I did it.
It would embrace. Be a power move to be like, yeah, I called them. And what?
Yes.
And you I gave think- a dog away. And, like, I feel like maybe Lisa, and I'm having more empathy now because I think maybe Lisa, pre all her family trauma, would have come out and just been like a badass about it.
I think,
but maybe she was just going through a really emotional, hard time and she was truly depressed.
I mean, I also felt like she was the Kristen of the group on Beverly Hills that season because her, like, her brother died and they yeah. were, her brother killed himself and they were all like, what a downer bitch.
Housewives of Beverly Hills historically doesn't do well with suicide.
Oh my God. No, they do not. That was
they
when
really don't know.
That was
when
my friend Tess from Night Call like checked out forever on the Housewives. Was that
was after Taylor's husband?
Yeah. She was like, I'm not comfortable with this being exploited for entertainment. I was mean, like, fair. I'm going to stay in this dirt pile.
Yeah. That's when I got a little deeper into it. And I was like, you know what? There's onto something here.
Yeah, I mean,
because I'm like, why wouldn't tragedy? Why wouldn't you want to exploit yes. tragedy for everything it's worth?
I do think that the best Housewives franchises currently tend to be the ones with newer people mm-hmm. who are not famous enough to have any say.
Yeah.
Or famous enough to like realize they can try to, you know, they're not like trying to construct their narratives on the show. They're just mm-hmm. happy to be there.
Yeah.
So I do think that the best ones are Dallas and Potomac.
Okay. Right now. Yeah. I keep hearing that too.
Yeah. Because nothing is off the table on those shows, mm-hmm. which is like maybe not good for the people on the show, but it is good for the show.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes for the most entertaining.
Yeah, and like the plot line, there was a plot line on Potomac that's about like one of them has a husband who like appears to be closeted or at least is sexually harassing men that work on the show.
Oh my God.
So they like broke the fourth
wall. Like the crew?
Yeah. He like grabbed a crew guy's ass.
No.
And then they like showed the footage and it became like this whole like true crime show the whole season of like, did he actually grab the crew guy's ass? Some of them claim they saw it. And
oh
the
my
one
God.
Who's married to him is like, she also like grew up in poverty and doesn't want to go back. So yeah. she's kind of like, you shut the fuck up about my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it like climaxed in an incredible scene where she was like at Pride performing her single for Pride and then like screaming at everyone about like insinuating that her husband might be gay.
Oh my God. Okay. Well,
so it's,
you
it's
just
a good
sold
show.
Me. Yeah. I'm very much in.
You may also know about the famous Dallas moment.
I know now a lot about Carrie O'Donnell's educated me on the Leanne downfall.
Leanne is amazing. And Leanne is smart because she doesn't try not to be the villain. She is the villain.
Yeah.
And that is what.
Leaning into your innate villain yes. energy is so key.
Trying to seem likable makes you the real villain.
Yeah.
As Taylor Swift has seen time and again.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that makes you less likable than trying
yeah.
to seem likable all the time. Like,
but do you think Leanne's going to get fired now?
For which part?
Well, all I know, what I know, having not watched it and just heard third party info, is like she was like actively racist to someone.
Oh, she was totally racist to yeah. somebody. But it was also in a, it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was like something they don't, I mean, there have been some plot lines on the shows recently that would never have been on the shows before, mm-hmm. just in terms of like addressing one of them being racist. Because Texas,
Texas is one of the most racist places.
Yeah. Like, and so this was like, so they brought in a Mexican cast member.
Yeah.
Who's new, who's a Mexican woman living in Texas, who's mm-hmm. super rich. And yeah, it was that when she got mad at her, she just kept calling her Mexican. And then they'd be like, that's fine. What was amazing that I didn't expect was the other housewives recognizing it as racist.
Yeah.
Because they're all also white women from Texas. Mm-hmm. So I just thought they were going to defend her.
Yeah.
And instead they were like, no, you can't do that. That's racist. Which was just sort of like an amazing turn.
And then Leanne like couldn't stop herself or kind of thought that it wasn't.
She couldn't stop talking about it. No. But I think, again, it's like if she's... As long as you don't do what Phaedra did on Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
which was to like accuse somebody of rape. I think that's what it was. I think she accused somebody of rape. That will get you kicked off.
Yeah.
There are some lines you cannot cross. I think because this sets Leanne up for like now next season. She has like the chance at the redemption arc,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and it's a learning opportunity
but
for
like,
her.
Racist women who don't know they're racist, that's a lot of Real Housewives, you know? That's like kind of the setup of all the white Real Housewives,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just who don't even know. And they've like left it in the show before. There have been other things that were like very damning that they just left in the show. For example, Luann, Countess Luann.
Oh, Luann doing like blackface
did not get her kicked off. And no. Everybody except for Carol Radziwill was like, it's fine. You know, and Carol Radziwill was like, she's doing blackface, right? Like, that's not cool. And they were like, it's a tan. Like,
it's a tan.
I don't know.
She literally was dressing up as like Diana Ross.
I was also concerned when they were doing the old man drag. There was some conspicuously dark tanner on Tom Schwartz that at a certain point he was like
into like a bit of brown
face.
And
then I was like, and then he was like, I'm Greek.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you're off the hook for now.
Good save.
Tom Schwartz.
But also, like,
I was like, at least you're smart enough to be like, I'm playing an ethnic stereotype of something I'm probably allowed to still do.
Yeah, like white European is still okay to make fun
like,
of.
Yeah, like, I was worried he was going to do, like, a fucking real racist voice.
Yeah, I was like,
and then
he was the dark, like, his...
My stomach was on the edge
because
I was like, please don't ruin the show for me forever. Even though I know that like Jax is a Trump voter and there are things that like make the show harder to watch now like that.
Yeah, a Trump voter just like doesn't vote.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The worst thing the most racist thing I've ever seen on a Real Housewives was when one of the first episodes where they introduced Dorinda on Real Housewives of New York, she mistakes a black guy in a restaurant for her waiter. And she just keeps going like, waiter,
no,
waiter over here. And he does not work there. And they like explain that.
Great.
And I was just like, wow, they left that in the show.
I mean, New York is a fascinating study of just like problematic energy, because I feel like they're constantly,
well, New York's
crossing
the
line.
Yeah.
But it's done in such an over the top, like comedic manner,
yes,
that you kind of just forgive it and
move on. New York mirrors New York. It has chaotic energy.
Yeah.
Non-stop.
Did you watch the trailer?
Not yet, but I think bringing in the streetwear woman is like a smart choice if you have to replace Bethany.
Yeah.
I was getting very mad at Bethany because she was doing the thing where she was like, I'm so famous, I don't want to have to film with anyone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was like, you know, she wanted to be the protagonist of the show, the narrator of the show, the person who tells you what to think about everyone else. But then she also loses her shit to an uncontrollable point where she says something really fucked up like all the time.
Yeah.
So I think her, as a control freak, her like inability to control the narrative like took her off the show.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know, because I do think there's a thing where it's like being on that show might ruin your life, but it might also make you wealthy.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
But like, is it worth it?
I don't know. It's the devil's bargain.
Would you go on a reality show? We've talked about this on Night Call before. Like, if somebody was like, here's $1 billion, we get to film everything you do now.
Oh, yeah, $1 billion.
$1 billion?
Yeah, like, for a lot of money. But like, I wouldn't do like a Vanderpump Rules Hail Mary type of thing where they're like, we're going to pay you like $5,000 for a whole season, of which your walk away pay is like $1,500.
Well, that's how they get you.
I know, to like exploit everything you do and you have no control and we make you look like an idiot.
I've heard like Love and Hip Hop, they sign a crazy deal where they can film you at all times.
Yeah, like it's like they just like they take super advantage, and I think you really don't get a good paycheck until you're 3 seasons in.
Do you watch Love and Hip Hop, by the
way?
No,
which I need to.
It's really
good. That's where Cardi B came from.
Yeah,
right?
She's her season is amazing because it is truly like a star is born.
Yeah.
Just from the moment she comes on screen. And she got scouted off of Instagram. She made like funny Instagram videos backstage. She is the American dream. She
really is. And then they plucked her and they said, let's put you on the show. Yeah. And then she kind of got a platform.
When she started rapping, people were like, she's not going to be able to do that. Because there's been a lot of people, like, they're like the vanity. So it's like if one of the Bravo Housewives songs became like the number one hit in the world.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think that's like overlooked. I need to get into like
Love and Hip Hop is great.
Because VH1 is where I first like cut my teeth on like reality television.
Unexploitative reality TV.
Yeah. Where I was like, wait, this is speaking to me. And then I feel like
Love and Hip Hop is great because it's different from Vanderpump and like every other reality show ever in that it like leans into being staged and is shot like a music video in parts.
Okay.
So every time they introduce a character or like show somebody in a new place, they have like a beautiful slow-mo shot of them walking in where they look fucking amazing.
I'm into that.
Tossing their hair. And they like kind of do the same plot devices across the series, which once you've watched enough of all of them, you will like realize.
Yeah.
But they do like some of the plot devices they like should do on The Housewives. Mm-hmm. There's always a plot line where like somebody suddenly is gay, where like a woman that's never dated women before, like, you know, they start the season and she's like, I've got a surprising, like, I had an interesting summer.
Oh, I'm into that.
And they've only ever done that once on Housewives with Kim fucking Zolciak, like, came back and was dating a woman.
But
it's such a smart way to get yourself airtime.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all of the Housewives and sometimes Vanderpump are so, like, weirdly lesbophobic.
Yeah.
Although they're always constantly making out with each other. Just for like one of them to be like, I am gay now. Would be great.
My hope is that like maybe Ariana and Tom like...
Ooh, I can see that. That's the thing too.
Could you see like, them like get, what being if, in like a throuple or her being like,
well, she made out with
Lala
that time. That was one of the most amazing...
That was a really good episode.
That was like really just like... And thrown in there that
even in the mix of like a terrible season,
yes,
you still get these like magical moments like that, and it's like, okay, like that's what we're watching,
right,
for.
Where they just casually were like, Sandoval's casually like, oh yeah, I let Lala eat out my girlfriend in the back of a cab. They were all like, what? You cucked yourself? That seems like what Sandoval would be into also.
Yeah, I would think that he would be like down to get cucked.
Sandoval seems like a real like sex, lies, and videotape kind of, like he just would be just as happy to like stand in the corner while Ariana makes out with a chick.
I think so. I feel like it's the kind of thing where I think they've had threesomes.
Also, I mean, I know they're maybe like a little on the old millennial side of things for this, but like don't underestimate the possibility of somebody opening up a marriage on the show. You know, that could be a great plot line.
It would be really amazing, you know, to see. And I think like they could open up their relationship.
I just can see Jax after being married for like 2 years being like, hey babe, have you ever heard about this thing called polyamory, where like,
or
I
like
get to
one
fuck
of the
everyone?
Girls, it would be cool if one of the girls got experimental or adventurous.
Yeah,
like I would love it if the tables turned and it wasn't like the guys cheating anymore and
it was
the women.
Totally. I do also think that's totally a possibility. They should just, what they should do is just like send them to more dangerous places. They shouldn't let
them
go
on more vacation.
The co-ed bachelorette party was great the first time, but they need to not only go on co-ed trips, because that is what stops the Twilight action from happening.
Yeah.
And what we need is for them to be like apart from each other long enough that like something can actually go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe like for Stassi's bachelorette or something like that, they can do them separately.
I just would like a Wild Things moment with like Ariana and Stassi.
I would like to find out that there's been a secret relationship this entire time, which I hope is the case. I hope the rumors are true on Beverly Hills that Brandy and Denise.
I mean, I don't think they're true, but I think it's a great plot device.
I mean, even if they're not, if it seems believable enough and it's entertaining, I don't really give a shit.
There's also some fascinating Denise Richards stuff I heard off the record that I'll tell you.
Okay, yeah, we'll have to circle back to that once the mics are off. I'm obsessed with Sheena. Like, Sheena's obsession with not being obsessed with Dana.
I know. And Sheena, when they were like, he's my friend, and they cut to the montage of like, he's just my friend. All the
he's my best friend.
Right. And like having eight seasons of stuff like that to cut to is also amazing.
Yeah.
And they cut to Tom Sandoval's apology montage.
I'm sorry, but.
And just every time, like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
When somebody says that they don't do something and then they cut to the tape, like, mm-hmm. that is incredible.
That's what I come here for.
Yeah. And that's why you don't want to sign on for a reality show.
Yeah, no, I don't want to, like, I know that there's certain ways that I could come off, but then I also don't want to be proven wrong time and time again when I'm like feeling right about everything, unless I'm getting like $1 million right. from the jump.
Yeah.
In which case, like, by all means, make me look like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lisa calling Pride avant-garde was really amazing.
It was avant-garde.
It's avant-garde. And also this episode felt like just a long infomercial for all of her various
restaurants. They all kind of do.
Yeah. But it's even more this season, like, restaurant-centric drama of, yes. like, who's on staff and, like, how short-staffed we are.
I also think they drove a car into Pump on purpose.
Same.
Yeah.
I was at Pump last night.
Yeah.
And they've now, where the car was driven in to the side, like the glass patio thing, that is now like the front door entrance.
They should have just left it like that with the car.
There's still a, like a Hard Rock Cafe, Studios yeah. kind of thing. Yeah, like an installation.
Yeah.
There's wood panels on the patio. It's like hasn't been fixed yet. And then now the entrance of it is kind of like, they shifted it. So I think they're waiting for insurance money to come through.
Yeah,
then they're going to reboot the whole front door area of it.
I think you're right.
But I think that absolutely was.
I think it was an insurance scam. I also think the fire was probably an insurance scam.
The fire's completely. Immediately after, because there were two fires that happened very closely to each other. And then when we got to see the fire take place on the show and saw her redecorate everything in the restaurant that wasn't even damaged. And then they paid Jeremy cash for like saving
yeah,
the day.
They don't even make it look not sketchy.
And I think that's their approach, is they're like, if we just do it out in the open, no one's going to question us. But I'm like, you guys are sketchy.
I mean, the restaurant business is sketchy.
It's really sketchy. I don't think that you can make that much money.
No, it's wrapped up with the real estate business, which is like the sketchiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of bribes to get certain properties.
Yeah. And she has like three of like the flagship properties in West Hollywood.
And with like,
we're going too deep now. We're going to.
I'm afraid for my life every day that I've said, like, because I've been a huge proponent of the fire starting theory.
Or one of them secretly an arsonist, which would also be an amazing plot line.
Yeah, if any like staff was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like if like Jax was like, oh, I can't stop starting fires. Like, mm-hmm. I'd totally believe
I
that.
I would buy that from him. Or like Dodie just like throwing cigs on it. And,
yeah,
like, having
that's
it burst
also
into
true.
Flames.
The back alley cigarette brigade.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what's also interesting about Kristen is that Carter's a big plot line this season, but we've never really seen him on the show. And I wonder if Lisa has like put the kibosh on him coming on the show because she doesn't like Kristen that much.
That's possible. I mean, I feel like we've seen him this season a little bit.
A little more than ever.
Yeah.
Like, we got him in that one New Orleans episode.
We saw him when she first started dating him after she and Sandoval broke up.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, hooked up with some other friend of hers or something.
He hooked up with Katie.
Right. Perfect. What do you think the deal with Peter is?
I worry for Peter. I think that I was into his acting in this episode. I thought he really sold the like angry manager.
Oh, yeah.
Putting his fists down.
I think he really works there.
I think he really works there. Like, his main job is managing.
And he
Sir.
Grew his hair back out, which was.
He grew his hair out, which was a good move.
But I like how he's like the starter boyfriend for all of them.
Yeah.
And then he's like not interesting enough to have drama on the show.
You climb on Peter to get to the next guy.
Peter gets you on the show.
Yeah.
You got to fuck Peter to get to
You have to fuck Peter. He's entry level fuck.
I have a friend who thinks Peter's the hottest one.
Oh, I have many friends that are like ride or die boners really? For Peter. Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, I went on a Tinder date with Peter way
you
back
did?
In the day.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
We matched on Tinder when the show, I think, was in its like second or early third season. And no, it might have been like right before the third season. And I was like, I have to go out with him
yeah.
and like see what it's all
How
about.
Was it?
It was what you'd expect. I mean, we went out to lunch. He had written a script that he was looking for someone to like rewrite for him. And so I think he took interest in me as like a potential writer. Like, I don't think it was a romantic date for him. I think it was a business and
but
networking
a
opportunity.
Classic LA experience. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, send me your script because I just wanted to read it. And it was like total like typos from page one onward. Like, really, I was like, oh, this is a person that's truly like, they're not going to make it.
Except as
the, like, he'll continue to manage yeah. a restaurant. That's great.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that there's any there as far as talent is concerned. I'm sad. It pains me to say that. I want for him
well,
to
I think
succeed.
Everybody on Pump Rules like found their calling, which is being a person on Pump Rules.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think they were all meant to be reality stars.
Yeah. They're, it's like, the stars aligned for mm-hmm. them and saved, like swooped in and saved them right yeah. at the moment.
And
where
I don't think you can replicate it with a different show because it is this like particular case of like they all had this friend group. All these pre-existing events had happened before the show started.
Yeah.
It all felt very real. But I don't think just crossing over into like sort of meta comment is going to ruin the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just trust them to fuck up because they've all fucked up so many times before. I
yeah.
trust that somebody's going to slip on a banana peel and fall in a stripper or something.
Yeah. I love that you're keeping the faith. It makes me want to keep the faith.
Just because human behavior, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, I believe.
Okay. Raquel's hairstylist. I'm obsessed with the hairstylist. Like, set up and then Xing Dana out of it. And like those hairstyles also didn't really warrant a hairstylist per se. Like, I feel like I could have done that. So I was really happy to see like Sheena and Raquel's pride looks.
Yeah. That's a good spinoff also, Sheena and Raquel.
Yeah, Sheena and Raquel, they make good TV together.
Yeah.
What do you think of Raquel and James's relationship?
I mean, I feel like we're not getting enough of it to tell, really.
Yeah.
Like, I think him, like, yelling at her to come over there and her missing a shift feels, like, very classic James.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that Raquel, like, steps up and is like, no, I will not miss a shift.
Yeah. I feel like this was the first time I really saw how probably abusive he is towards her. Like, it was one of those moments where it's like he's screaming, like, fuck you, Raquel. Like, how dare you? And then later on, he's like puppy dog eyes.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm so sorry. And
well,
like,
they're all like that. They all like live for the drama. So
yeah.
Like, almost nobody has a relationship that's like
respectful.
Yeah.
Like, also, James is sneaking alcohol like
yeah,
on camera.
Clearly. Yeah.
And not doing a good job of hiding it.
Yeah.
And where do you stand on like James' alcoholism?
I mean, I think he's
alcoholism.
Doing a better job of not being drunk on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like trying to stay on the show because
yeah.
he knows it's his one shot.
But it's also deeply sad, and I think speaks to the nature of like addiction that
yeah,
literally Lisa's like, you cannot do this and be on the show and have these jobs if you're also drinking.
Yes.
And he can't just not drink.
Yeah. And when you see the stuff with his family too, it makes you have more sympathy for him because
yeah.
like he's coming from like the not the most stable family and a family that clearly valued like fame and money
mm-hmm.
in a major way. again, it's just like when you see them in the context, you're like, oh, they're all just such three-dimensional people because they're real people.
Yeah. I wish we'd gotten more of like Jax's family dynamic, or I guess we'll probably get more of like, yes, the mom stuff, which, right, I think is a very untapped and unmined.
Right.
Like,
Jax flipping out at his mom is like,
and not inviting her to his wedding.
Yeah, it's psycho.
And it's like, no one's really like speaking to that in a, yeah, very real way. I love also that Lisa is like now Ariana's therapist.
Yeah, of course.
when they cut back to Ariana being like on the phone in a bathrobe, and Lisa, yeah, goes, are you just still depressed? And I love the real, like, Ariana being like, I thought I was just depressed because I lived in a shithole apartment, but really I'm actually dealing with, like,
right, like, depression. That's real. Yeah. That's also real, being like, oh, the material possessions I thought would, like, make my life better aren't, mm-hmm, actually making me happy because, like, I'm just not a happy person.
Yeah.
That's fucking good.
And then I was like, I would also be really depressed if I lived in that apartment.
Right, and if you moved away. Also, just like moving away from WeHo for all those people seems like a bigger deal than they're making it.
Yeah. I would
all live
really,
next to each other. It's like they're away from the nightlife that they care so much about.
And the access to like this other world. Like, yeah, it's like, it must be a weird feeling for them to go. They now drive over the hill 20, 25, 30 minutes to go to these restaurants where they're treated like rock stars. Yeah. But it's like, it's only in that one place that they get this kind of like adulation and like recognition, and then everywhere else they go,
they're normal,
barring like maybe the few people that are fans of the show being like, oh my god, it's Tom and Ariana, or like, it's Jax. But like, it just must be a very strange lifestyle.
Yeah, it's such a micro kind of fame.
Yeah,
but it's also so intense.
So intense. And then you feel like, oh, I'm on a show that's like the whole country watches, and I'm like a huge celebrity in this like tiny restaurant scene, but then I'm going to drive back to the valley where like no one cares about who I am.
Right, like that would do a number on you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah.
I want to like live in WeHo and like have my whole vibe going, and then like just make it bigger and better in that area.
That's what I'm saying, like, but they can't afford to live in WeHo.
Yeah, so it's like there's a lot of settled energy.
Relatable.
You're like, once again, relatable.
Making
kings and
compromises.
Queens. James's troll of Randall. I love that we addressed the like Randall 50 Cent drama.
Fofty.
But I also am like, Lala, her not talking about any of that.
No, I mean, Lala is definitely like sidelining herself, but I think she probably has wisely realized that maybe the Randall cash flow is more worth it than the Vanderpump cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more there.
The Randall cash flow and connections to Hollywood.
Yeah, like,
I was looking for her at the Oscars.
She, I think, was there.
What I like kept looking for her in the audience, and I didn't see her sitting next to like Marty and Co. Yeah,
there's that picture of Jax with De Niro.
I know,
that was fucking amazing.
It really made me happy though that like the Irishman won nothing, because I've had to accept so much like when it comes to Vanderpump Rules, and really like it's been a test of my own sanity to like see them have like Kelsey, the Reiki healer, who was also like a goop, like someone from like the goop.
Oh, she
camp.
Is?
Yeah, she was like, and okay, still is.
I was gonna say also, just like Jax's emotional affair with Kelsey was like a sign that like
was incredible.
Yeah.
But and then just, she's like a real deal, like Reiki, like goop approved, right, Reiki master. And to have that crossover felt very uncomfortable for me. Then to have like them mingling with like Hollywood royalty, yes, actors, yes, feels really wrong.
Well, ever since Jennifer Lawrence said she watched the show, it was like it crossed the line into like
oh, this is like
famous people
fuck with it, and it's no longer like,
it's not just for bloggers anymore.
It's not just for bloggers or like a low-key highbrow entertainment.
Yeah, But I think that, you know, just adds to its cachet. Got to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
I think also that if somebody wanted to take the La La playbook, if you were like a very ambitious influencer in your 20s and you just like started stalking Jax and being all the places he is, or just targeting him in some way that made him feel understood and loved, you could get on the show.
If you gave him a shoulder to cry on. I mean, that's like what Britney did, allegedly, is like she flew out to Vegas because she knew that they would be there.
Yeah.
And like positioned herself.
That's what a lot of people do who get what they want out of situations.
Mm-hmm. Max, what do you make of Max?
I don't really.
Yeah, he's kind of a no for me.
Yeah.
And the more I see of him, the less I'm into him. And then also with his like...
His racist tweets.
And then like seeing Dana get ready and then Max is just like laying in the bed.
Yeah.
I had like a visceral negative reaction. I mean,
he's a good disposable character to be like, here's a shitty boyfriend to remind you of like what shitty boyfriends these guys used to be. Because I also feel like the original cast is like getting so much air off the fact that like they're not as bad as they once were.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, hey, we used to cheat on you all the time. Now we maybe only cheat on you sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like be happy about that.
Now we cheat on you, but we just don't tell anyone about it.
Yeah.
So no one ever finds out.
But
so
having,
like it never happened.
Having like the younger people hooking up and being like really shitty to each other.
We need some sluts on the show.
Yeah. And again, I think because Lala kind of got into a serious relationship really fast.
Yeah, she fell in love.
She fell in love and it fucked up her arc, but maybe not her like actual arc in life.
Yeah. I love Jax's t-shirt that he was wearing at Pride that says every saint has a past.
Oh my God, what was that about?
I think he's fully on like, he's a born again Christian, I think at this point. And I think that, I mean, I don't know, because it could, for all I know, be like a Barstool Sports like merch that I just don't know about. But I think that that's like Christian merch that he's wearing.
I believe it. I was like, it's either Christian or it's about the Saints, but he's not a Saints fan. So.
Yeah, I was like, it's either sports, which I don't speak that language.
But I'm excited for the episode next week where they deal with the homophobic pastor. Because that seems, again, it's like that's going to be one of the big divides that does like change the dynamic of the friend group. It's like Jax and Brittany being super Christian, they're going to move to Kentucky, I think, eventually.
Kentucky or Florida, some place that's
he'll bottom out in LA and be like, I hate this. I don't belong here. I need to go back to the South where I belong.
Yeah. And I think also he just can't sustain for a long time in LA. Like it's going to be too much temptation.
Yes.
Because he's already like, he's like, yeah, Dana's like, not my type. Like I would never.
Oh my God. That was so funny.
And I'm like, yes, you would actually like rail this girl.
He was like, I don't like skinny blondes. And then they cut to him with all the different skinny blondes.
I could go for just 2 hours of them saying like a declarative statement about themselves only to cut back to a montage of something that totally
deserve all the awards for their work.
Also, why is Jax working at the bar? Like, he does not have to work
there. It's all
he
knows how to do.
Yeah.
Because he needs that. He needs to be seen. He
needs to pay for the wedding.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think he's also like, I won't have fights with Brittany anymore. And so the compromise is like, I'll work at Sir.
Yes.
But that's like not an okay compromise.
No.
I need Andy to crack the whip on a few people.
I think it's coming.
Lisa's obsessed with Brett. And it makes me sad that Brett was also outed with racist tweets because I feel like he's not going to be able to be on the show for that much longer. And
no,
like, I'm sad that Lisa doesn't get her like Cedric.
But it shows you that Lisa has a type. That
doesn't he remind you of Cedric kind of?
Yeah. Lisa's type is the same as the first few seasons of Sex and the City. She likes a brown haired white man with a sort of Italianate
and like
style.
Brett is kind of the new Jax in the way that like he got to be this like objectified hot young guy.
Right. And Jax hates that.
And like, I love Lisa, whatever Ken and Lisa have worked out where it's like Ken's cool to like sit on the sidelines and observe Lisa with like her boy toy. And I wonder if Brett will like, I wonder if
she'll
work it out to
where they'll stay. Who knows what's going on?
I know. She said that she said that she's giving them a second chance, but then ultimately it's like Bravo decides.
Right. I'm just saying, who knows what's going on in the Vanderpump's marriage? That's oh, the best yeah. kept. Mm-hmm. Secret of all.
Do they fuck? Do they not fuck?
Do they fuck other people, but it's cool?
Yeah. Do they just always have a third that's rotated in who's like fucking both of them? Like Cedric was alleged to be doing.
We will never know.
Tom seems like its first pride went really, really well.
Yeah.
Which I was happy for the Toms.
Business is booming.
Tom Schwartz just can't believe he's just such a successful business owner.
It's so fucking weird they cut out Jax in favor of Tom Schwartz. Like, that was the weirdest thing of all. And that was kind of a Hail Mary, maybe, that Lisa should not have thrown Tom Schwartz, because his plot line of being like completely unmotivated, having no ambition, like, and being just sort of like a hot guy who like has no plan for what he's going to do when he's not hot anymore. Mm-hmm. And maybe doesn't even realize that, like, well, I mean, he's a model, so he must realize a little bit, but just like, he was just like happy to be an object, didn't want to work hard. There's that time where he like does the modeling and he's like, oh, this is so great, after like how stressed I was having to like sell sangria or whatever.
It's, yeah, like, and like, he just is, he's pretty bad at everything he does.
Yeah,
but he's cute.
Yeah,
and I think Katie had just, or Lisa has had such a soft spot for Katie, because she kind of like, I think because of Katie's skylight accident, and Lisa, I feel like part of asking Tom Schwartz to be in this Tom like restaurant ownership was doing Katie a favor, like trying to set them up for some sort of long-term stability.
But she shouldn't have done Katie a favor.
No, it was a bad bet, a bad investment, because they're just not that great of TV anymore.
Right. And like Sandoval being the guy who runs a bar is actually totally something I'm into, because he clearly loves it and was born for it.
And he's obsessed with it.
Right. And he's like Rick's Cafe in Casablanca, you know. Yeah. He's just like, he loves being the guy that everyone is like, your name's on the marquee here.
Yeah. And his attention to detail, like, and like his whole life has been leading up to this point.
Tom Schwartz has never worked at anything.
No,
but like, not even at the bar like everybody else. It would have made more sense to give it to Tom and Jax.
But Tom Schwartz has always had that kind of like floppy cute boy energy where people just like roll out the red carpet for him and they're like, what do you want? Can right. we help you?
But then it's like, you see the dark side of that at a certain point, which is like, he's passive to a point where it's like hostile. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And like, when he and Katie are mean to each other and then they kind of patch it up afterwards and they're like, oh, blah, 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 it always feels like you didn't fix anything. You
Nothing
didn't really talk
fixed.
About what's going on. The problem is, you shouldn't be together.
You should have never been together. You should have broken up after he cheated on you in like season two, or probably earlier.
But that's also a thing where someone's like, okay, I caught him, I'm not letting go. He'll mm-hmm. have to humiliate me in some way I can't in any way get out of for me to leave this person.
Yeah. Like, but passive guys like that never are the ones to break up with the girl.
No, he's just going to cheat on her.
He'll just cheat and cheat and cheat. Which, and they leave it on the non-passive person in the relationship to like, it's like, how much do I have to chip away at your self-esteem before
you really...
I could
just see that happening, especially if Katie just like gives up and is like, I'm just like a housewife who knits now, like, and Schwartz is still running a bar.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she really cares that much, because she got like...
She got what she wanted.
She got what she wanted, which was to get married.
Right. And I think a lot of people are so into the idea of getting married that like, it doesn't matter who it's to, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, traditional values are just like, I need to date someone and then marry them and then buy a house with them. But it's like, you're totally ignoring reality.
Yeah. Like, what comes after all of that?
And you're also like, cheating yourself in a way, because it's like, I feel like just there's so many people that would appreciate Katie for like who she is and like be kind of as boring as she is in the same way.
Well, but also it's like we never like, got to see Katie as like a single, fully realized
right.
person.
I think it's like she dated like a couple people and then she dated Schwartz and like,
and I think that they had a rocky, like, it was like a hookup, like, relationship that was undefined and then finally got defined. And then it was like, oh, I've got to sink my claws into this guy and like I'm never letting him go.
Right,
and this has to be the person.
And you always get the sense that she's way more committed to the idea of Tom and Katie than he is.
Yeah. But you never got to see her have a moment that's like, okay, like I drink a lot. Like I led to like a terrible life-threatening accident. I like managed to recover from that, yet I still have like brain damage. And like, what does this mean for my life? Like, what are my biggest ambitions in life? Like,
well,
how am I going to activate?
She just seems like overly codependent. And again, I think that's like the problem that she and Stassi both have.
Mm-hmm.
They're like boyfriend girls. They need to have a boyfriend to feel validated.
Yeah.
When they were single, they didn't figure out how to feel validated without having a boyfriend. So then mm-hmm. when they get a boyfriend again, it's like, no, you're still giving all of your identity on having a boyfriend, which
yeah.
is why Kristen makes them so uncomfortable, because they're like, no, like people who have boyfriends are happy, and like if you're not happy, then like you're the problem. It can't be anything about him.
Yeah. And like Katie painted herself into a corner almost too, because her relationship dynamic is with Schwartz is like he's passive and a cutie
right.
pie, and then she ends up being like the bitchy, like overbearing.
She'd be happier in a relationship with somebody that like she could control more, who was like clearly more in it than she was, mm-hmm. is what I think. She like, and I feel like maybe that's what Stassi gets with Bo, is like somebody who's clearly like not looking around, because they're just like, okay, I'm in, like you're here and I'm staying by your side at all times.
Yeah.
But
and like that has no life, so he's down to do whatever she wants to do, which
yeah.
I think is a different dynamic
well,
than
a,
she had in the past.
It's a struggle for like alpha females such as ourselves and Stassi,
mm-hmm.
just to be like, you don't want someone who's just a doormat. You want somebody who is like as passionate and motivated as you are. But then that can also be the conflict, is like you're always going to be negotiating like whose passions you're following.
Yeah.
Stassi is clearly like they're just following her passion, and
mm-hmm.
he's there, you know. It's like she's got this great life and he gets to tag along, but like will she eventually resent him for not having his own thing? Possibly.
Or will like, he resent her because
or will
he
resent
he
her
to,
right
he's been doing her thing
right
so
because
long.
He's Stassi's boyfriend.
Yeah,
he's
moving into like her house, like
right.
She's going to decorate her house the
and
way
again,
she wants to.
And again, this is like what
it.
Taylor Swift is like so obsessed with. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, like clearly she's driving the boat, but she doesn't want to appear to be driving the boat, because that's like unfeminine
mm-hmm.
to be like the person in charge, you know?
Of her relationship.
Of everything in her
yeah.
life, you know? The person who calls all the fucking shots. Like, that doesn't go with like traditional heterosexuality, which
yeah.
says that the man must be the person calling the shots. So instead, they just like do backbends to make it seem like he's in charge in some way,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think they all kind of do that. Especially with Katie, it's the most galling, because you're like, he's clearly not in charge. He's in charge because he's more withholding.
Yeah.
That's the way in which he's in charge. But like, you're making all the decisions. You're getting married because you wanted to get married.
Yeah, she's cracking the whip.
Yeah.
He could never say no. Like, she basically, like, pushed, like, that season of them getting married
was amazing.
It was incredible.
Right.
He's, like, crying in a swamp, basically being like, I don't want to do this, but can't vocalize and really be like, I'm not going to do this. And
right.
then just did it. And now he's fully married, and it's kind of like, once you get over that and realize that it's pretty easy to just passively, if you just never stand up, you can just kind of float around. And
I think for him and for all of the people on the show, if we do get more seasons and if the show keeps going, like they're all going to hit a midlife crisis so hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, like.
Yeah, like the search for deeper meaning.
Yeah, like Jax is already there.
Will eventually slap them in the face.
Yeah, the like, what did I do with my life? I don't have the boundless choices anymore. That's just like an interesting thing to watch. There just are very few shows that follow people across like a decade of their lives, where you see them try to improve and then backslide mm-hmm. over and over again. Like, that's what every good prestige drama is to me, is like people trying to become better, trying to recognize their flaws, having these like temporary epiphanies where they're like, wait, I shouldn't do this anymore. And then just like falling back into it because that's who you are. You don't have the willpower.
Yeah. And we really haven't seen, or I haven't seen, especially on a reality show, people come from starting at the place where they were starting, which was truly like end of the line. Like you've reached your early 30s, like a lot of opportunities are falling away, to then having like a new lease on life that you were able to ride from like being broke and like not able to eat to like success in buying a
house. Yeah, it's both aspirational and like weirdly, I always feel like it is a weird critique because it's like Lisa does that thing where she's like, this workplace is a family and I'm your mom and I'll always take care of you. But then it's like, or she might fire you because she doesn't actually give a fuck.
Yeah.
And she's like using you to feel like she's at the helm of the ship.
And now even more so because she doesn't have the Beverly Hills.
Right.
Like income or storyline.
You need her, but she doesn't actually need you.
No.
But now if she doesn't have Beverly Hills, maybe they do need each other a little bit more.
I think they kind of do. And I think Lisa made a mistake by leaving because then now she puts herself on the same level
yes.
as these people who now have more money and more power and say. And it's just kind of like a downgrade for her and a bit of an upgrade for them. My favorite part of this episode was when Jax cut his finger and bled, like was bleeding on the bar and then like poured whiskey on it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Redolent of that part in Marriage Story where mm-hmm. he cuts himself and can't stop. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, this guy can't even stop from like cutting his finger open and he's been a professional bartender.
Yeah. Like, what does he truly care about? Like, he seems like he's a person that like has never been able to identify a true passion in life.
Yeah. And I think for all the guys, it's like they got so far in life just on being hot white guys
mm-hmm.
in like a mostly in like a gay space.
You yeah. know,
like they used their looks and then it's like, what else do they have going on?
Yeah.
Which is like something that you see women deal with on Housewives a lot, but like to see men dealing with it too is really interesting mm-hmm. to me. Guys who didn't even realize how far their appearance carried them just in a bubble through life.
Yeah. And I think Sandoval seems like someone that's genuinely like happy with his lot in life right now. Like he's doing... He's not Michael Jackson like he set out to be, but he is like he owns his own
yes.
place.
And he always had the most modest sort of like he seemingly he wanted to be a musician, but he wasn't even trying to be the lead singer. Like,
yeah, he's just like he was more of like a simple guy with simple dreams.
Yeah.
And then Jax, I don't think has ever fully tried to identify like a real dream. It was just like
Jax
whatever
just
I
wants
can
to
get
do it all.
Yeah, he
wants
just to, wants attention and
yeah,
like
and to have experience.
Yeah, to be like wanted.
Yeah.
And then Schwartz doesn't know
and again
anything.
Like, I think Jax is gonna we're gonna have to sit tight while Jax goes through getting married, saying he's a boring old dad now and he's nothing like he used to be, probably having a kid. And then he'll just be like, he'll still be Jax.
Yeah.
He'll be like, I'm bored. I don't want to stay at home with the kid. I'm going to go out and watch football at, mm-hmm. you know, the neighbor's house. And then he'll go to fucking Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's what I think will happen.
Okay.
If they let it happen, I would love to for this show to go for another 10 years.
I would love this show to be like The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Because it would be even fine. Like, there's been points where I'm like, maybe I need to tap out for like a season or so, which is something I never thought I would say or feel about Vanderpump Rules, but like sometimes it's good to leave and then you return and you appreciate something even more,
right? And just it's still head and shoulders above the rest of television.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well. I'm really happy that Roni is coming back.
Me too.
I'm really happy that I found Summer House.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to getting into Below Deck.
I will also say if you want to really lose your mind,
yes,
Southern
always
Charm, Southern Charm.
Southern Charm, I'm going to get back into. I just watched The Bachelor for
Southern
the first
Charm
time in a
is
long
great
time.
Because those people have no self-awareness and no shame, so it
yeah.
doesn't matter that they're and they're all old
and unlimited
old as
resources,
fuck, and a lot of them are weirdly old.
Yeah. And Thomas Ravenel's fully gone now, right?
I heard a bad rumor
that he might be back.
That maybe he and Catherine got back together and they're
oh my god,
back
I think I saw that too.
But that also, it's Southern Gothic.
It's very Southern Gothic. I mean, they've always been pretty rapey on that show.
Oh, they're rapey and their money all comes from slavery, probably. Like, it's really...
Also that.
I couldn't watch it at first because one of them, like, literally lives in a plantation.
Oh, yeah, he's like, my plantation.
But then I got into it as like, oh, these people are all evil. Some of them seem to know that they're evil.
Yeah, they have like really evil white roots.
Yeah, and they're
more
just
so
like
than the average white
Southern. There, it's just I think that show is interesting.
Yeah,
and dark.
Okay, well,
and then like Southern Charm New Orleans is like a totally different show.
Yeah,
Southern Charm New Orleans is like a chill, interesting. It's like the show that I think Vanderpump could become, which is like a show about like a group of married friends that are still having issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And it's also much chiller than regular Southern Charm because it's like. There are black cast members and the yeah. white people on it have black friends. So it's a different show.
A novelty.
Well, it's just compared to Southern Charm, which is like very white and patrician and like scary old money. I mean, yeah. like New Orleans is also cooler than Charleston and Savannah, I'll say.
I need it. Yeah, I'm excited to be like expanding my universe beyond Vanderpump
Rules. Yeah. Because
it really, I got like obsessively, like maybe too obsessed with it at certain points.
I can't do The Bachelor because it's too divorced from reality, so to speak.
It is, but then there was something about it that felt really good to like, because I just dropped in for an episode to do another podcast, and then I was like, wait, now I'm hooked.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I like need to know how this ends.
I call shows like that brain bleach.
Yeah,
you just like, I don't have to think about anything.
Yeah, I'm just gonna like relax and let it yeah. wash over me.
But sometimes I can't handle it. It's like too inane.
Yeah. It's a lot of like previously, like
yeah, or just
jumping
like,
back from a commercial.
Just the weird rules of the Bachelor universe. Like, I don't care about it that much.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It seems like they're breaking them a teeny little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they can say
it's just
now.
So weirdly sexless for a show that's all about like having sex.
Well, it's their approach to sex and sexuality
it's
is very
up.
Fucked up and backwards.
I also think it's a great critique of heterosexuality.
Oh, it's an amazing one. Yeah. And also like it perpetuates really, I think, damaging notions of sex
yeah.
and sexuality. But as someone that can like see that and is not going to be negatively affected, I'm just like, hell yeah. But like, I feel for people that are like, Bachelor Nation, Bachelor is Life, and like don't understand that like the way they portray sex is like so deeply sad and hurtful.
It's so sad. That show is so sad.
Yeah.
But Vanderpump Rules is not sad. It's the best.
Yeah. It's a warm hug at the
yeah.
end of a long day.
It's a comforting, sometimes a little bittersweet, but
yeah,
always comforting.
Well, you've renewed a lot of my faith. And I'm also with you like that I don't think this season is as bad as last season. And I
yes.
think I'm still finding a lot of like LOL moments.
Yeah, it's still
it's not
good.
Gonna it's not the same as it once was.
I like
the glory days are definitely over.
I like a season where you just follow along, where you just hang out with the characters.
Yeah.
And it's not about high stakes drama.
Yeah, and we're gonna just see and then maybe it'll ramp up again and
yeah.
we can like get something out of it.
Yeah.
I think once people are having babies too and like pregnancy comes into play, there'll be a whole new set of issues
I
to
agree.
Deal with.
I agree.
Thank you so much for being on the
Thanks
pod.
Thanks for having me. You gotta come on Night Call sometime.
I would be honored to come on Night Call. Everyone should listen to Night Call and follow Molly.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Molly Lambert. You can hear more of my Vanderpump thoughts.
Yes, and you are always like publishing new work.
Yeah, we gotta get that group profile with the Witches of WeHo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome back anytime.
Cool.
And until next time, guys, bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, because I know.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.